Philippians chapter 4, I want us to open the scriptures, verse number 4. Philippians chapter 4, commencing to read at verse 4. And in this book of Philippians, here we have in one of the prison letters, we have these words, exhortation from verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. And we know that God Himself will add His blessing to the reading of His precious word through Jesus' name. Amen. We have been seeking to study the example of the Lord Jesus Christ for His redeemed people. And in this study that I want to draw to a conclusion this morning, first of all, we did notice that there are some mistakes that are made by those who present Jesus Christ as our example. Firstly, they hold up the Lord Jesus and the perfect life of the Lord Jesus Christ before mankind in a general way. They hold it up before the unconverted, and they say that we need to imitate Christ, or they need to follow the example of Christ. Of course, indicating that that's how man finds acceptance with God, in imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. We find acceptance with God alone through the precious blood and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And not until we have been redeemed by that precious blood and entered into that wonderful experience of new life in Christ can we indeed then take the next step, and that is to follow His example. Of course, there is a secondary thing that we found out, that people make mistake and they fail to present to the believers the biblical necessity of following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. The duty that is given and placed upon the child of God that's recorded in the Scriptures. And that duty, of course, gives us in the Word of God things we are to avoid and things that we are to follow. Now, God has a sovereign purpose in your life and mine. He tells us that all things work together for good, Romans chapter 8. And we bless the Lord for such a promise. All things work together for good to them that love God. But it goes on to say, for whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And there is a sovereign purpose of God for His redeemed people. That as you and I live in this world, that we are predestinated by God to be conformed to the image of His Son. We are, therefore, in this world to follow Christ. We are to follow His example. I said this, and I say just in passing again, just to let you know, if we were to follow the example of men, ordinary men, no matter who good they are in history, then, friend, we would be making a mistake and we would be led into confusion. We know that John Knox, a great preacher of the Word of God, a mighty man of God, he was a Scot. We know that Luther was a German. We know that Paul was a Jew. And if we were to follow these people, you will notice in their lives they had peculiarities. And some of those characteristics in their lives came from their upbringing.
in their different upbringing, the environment in which they were brought up, and actual fact, also the period in the time of history in which they lived in this world. But when we follow Christ, we follow one whose example is to every believer, out of every generation, out of every people, out of every tongue. Because in the example of Christ and in the conduct of Christ, we have the perfect pattern for every one of us. Praise God, the wee chorus says English, Irish, Russian, Jew, German, Jap, Italian too. I don't care who it is, my friend, I don't care what the background is. Out of every nation, out of every generation, the Lord Jesus Christ alone is the perfect example that you and I are to follow. Follow Him. Now, of course, that brings us on to what that means to us in our lives. Last Lord's Day in our study, we noted that we are to be pure in heart. We know that the Lord Jesus is essentially pure and essentially holy. We know that He is infinitely holy. We know that He is effectually holy. We noted that He was exemplarily holy. All of those things peculiar to the Lord Jesus Christ. But in 1 Peter, in the chapter 1, in the verse 14, it says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Because it is written, "Be ye holy." Here's a statement, here's a declaration. "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He that hath called you is holy. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That's the first thing. The example of Christ, He is the Holy One, and we are to follow Him and His example in the path of holiness. Pure in heart. Then secondly, we are to be obedient in life. We read last Lord's Day the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. And in that second chapter of the book of Philippians, we read these words. It says, "Being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Here we see the example of the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience. The obedience of Christ was free. The obedience of Christ was voluntary. The obedience of Christ was full. "Lo, I come in the volume of a book that is written of me," Psalm number 40. "I delight to do thy will, O my God." He was obedient. He did it freely. Praise God, He says, "I lay down my life of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again." And then He said this, "No man taketh it from me." In John chapter 14, verse 31, it says, But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Note the words, "As the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." There's obedience in life. The Lord Jesus Christ, He showed and He displayed obedience to His Father's will. And that's the second example that you and I are to follow. We are to be pure in heart. We are to be obedient in life. Then thirdly, we are to be self-denying in practice. Now we're going to move into these and give you them quickly this morning. But I want you to think of them very carefully, the example of Christ and what it means to you and what it means to me. The example of Christ to our hearts. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in the verse number 9, it says these words concerning the Lord Jesus. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here is the manifestation of grace in the very life of Christ Himself. Though He was rich, yet for our sakes and your sakes, that's yours and mine, He became poor. Self-denying in practice. And the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. You see, if we attain this morning, no man can ever fathom the depths of those words, what Christ gave up for you and what Christ gave up for me. Listen, my friend, think of those words. Let it penetrate your heart. Though he was rich, there's a statement, he was rich. Think of the richness of Christ. Think of the richness in his person. Think of the richness, my friend, in his passion. Think of the richness of Christ in his providence. Think of all of those things and even just go into the depths of those words. He was rich. But then notice, though he was rich, he became poor. And my friend, what you notice is this. Christ was under no obligation to deny himself for us. But when we read the scriptures, you and I are under a solemn obligation to deny ourselves for him. You and I are under a solemn obligation to deny ourselves for him. In the book of Matthew's Gospel, in the chapter 16, it gives us a challenge in verse 24. It says this, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples," and friend, that's unto you and me, "if any man will come after me," you're going to follow him, if you're going to follow his example, "if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That's what it means. It means that you've got to deny yourself and you've got to take up your cross and you've got to be willing to follow him. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, in verse 19 it says, "I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things that are Jesus Christ's." Friend, in that verse there, in verse number 21, here's the sad reality for even many of God's people. All seek their own. All seek their own. Your friends, listen, my own rights, my own service and what I want to do, all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But you know, whenever we follow Christ's example, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. He denied himself. Denied himself all of that richness, friend, and became so poor that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. I say it again, Christ was under no obligation to you and me, friend, to deny himself. But listen, you and I are under a solemn obligation to Christ to deny ourselves. "If any man will follow me, let him deny himself and let him take up his cross and follow me." You see, all seek their own. In other words, friend, people are in love with themselves. Is that not a problem in the world today? Is that even a problem in the Christian church today? Is that not a problem in society today? People are in love with themselves. And by in love with ourselves, friend, we pamper self and we pity self and we please self. But the Word of God says, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to follow me and follow my example, listen, I was rich and yet for your sakes I became poor. Friend, listen, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny self. In other words, let us renounce self and let us mortify self and let us put self to the cross. Why? That we might please him. That we might please him. You know, Paul was happy to send Timotheus and to Timothy. He was very happy to send him there to that church. And do you know why? Because he said, listen, here's someone of like mind. Here's someone that will take a stand, you see. Here's someone who will care for you above himself. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Said, I couldn't send others because all seek their own, not the things of Christ. Then be honest before God. Just answer this question this morning. Do we seek ourselves to please ourselves? Are we seeking the Lord to please him? Are we more concerned about the cause of Christ than we are about the cause of ourselves, you and me? Because here we find that to follow Jesus, we're to be pure in heart. Yes, and in our lives, we are to be obedient. And in practice, we are to be self-denying. Fourthly, we are to be active in service. We are to be active in service, fulfilling the work that God has committed unto us. You know, perhaps at times we think that, you know, friends, we would be better suited to something else. Listen, we've got to be willing to be faithful in little things, because God couldn't trust us with bigger things. If we were not faithful in the small things, then how could He trust us with anything else? What about the life of Christ concerning His service? What does this mean in the life of Jesus Christ? Let me just give you a couple of verses there. Go to John's Gospel with me this morning. Because remember, you're to follow the example of Christ. And this is what He said in John chapter 4, in verse number 34. And this is what it said this. The Lord Jesus speaking. Verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. Here's something that's even more precious than food to my body. Here is something that will put beef on my bones. For friend, here's the purpose of my life. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. Are we active in service? Are we willing to stand in the gap in this day and fulfill a service and do a service for the Lord Jesus Christ? What was the work that Christ finished when He said, My meat's to do the will of Him who sent me? What was the will and what was the work, friend? It's the finished work of the cross. And let me tell you, my friend, the work that Jesus did, and He finished His work, thank God, is a work that will be celebrated by the saints of God throughout all eternity. You see, it not only counted for time, it counted for eternity. It was a precious work because it was something that would last for all eternity. Is that what we realize is most precious today, to be caught up in the things that last for all eternity? You ever think of the joy of leading a precious soul to Jesus Christ, friend? Just to point the precious soul to Jesus. You ever known that, experienced that joy? Child of God, have you ever experienced I haven't done it myself, but I brought someone to hear the gospel. That person got saved. Yes, friend, you're a part. You're a part in the work of the Lord. By bringing somebody in and seeing them won for the Lord Jesus Christ, are you doing the work? Are you doing the will of God that sent you? In John chapter 9, in verse number 4, the Lord Jesus Christ said this. He says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. In other words, friend, that's a very practical thought. You see, time's short. Time's short. The Lord Jesus Christ was on this old earth for just 33 years. You and I, friend, even at its longest, even if God gives us the allotted span, every one of us know that time's short. And you know, whenever we think of it, friend, time's short, but eternity is sure. You're headed to eternity. And you're going to go out into God's eternity and be there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I ask you this, are you working the works of Him that sent you? It says, I must work the works of Him that sent me. What a stay. What a stay. Why? Because night cometh when no man can work. We're all getting older. And with it we get frailer, and there's things we're not able to do. Friend, why not use your youth, young person? Can I say this? I beg you in God's name, use your youth. And use it well for the Lord. Give God the best days of your life. Give Him the best years of your life. Let the Lord Jesus Christ surrender to Him the best time of your life. Occupy and work the works of Him that sent you, because it's only day for a little while. You see, the night's coming when no man can work. Maybe you're weary. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ Son of God, I was thinking about it, you know. Nicodemus came to Jesus, it was nighttime, but the Lord Jesus was willing to talk to him. Didn't say, I'll just do 9 to 5, just that's the only time I'm really committed. Now, I can't do it, because it's night. And would you come back to me in the morning, Nicodemus? I'll talk to you, know, some of God's people. And they close and shut down very early in God's service. Don't ask them to serve the Lord in the nighttime. They would have been no good to Nicodemus at all, because you see, their sleep would have been more important. Friend, what an awful shame. What an awful shame not to give God the best of your time. And work while it's day. You see, the night's coming when no man can work. That means opportunity. Opportunity will be over. And Nicodemus came to the Lord by night. And the Lord Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He worked in the nighttime. And then I think of these words in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 4. It says, and Jacob's well was there, verse 6. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus in the well. See, the Lord was tired just like you. And his human flesh, and the Word of God said, he was wearied with his journey. Are you weary with the journey, brother? Has it been tough going? Has the battle been a tough battle and you're weary with the journey and you say, listen, you know, perhaps I can't do it anymore. I can't serve the Lord anymore. Friend, listen, don't be slothful and lazy in the Lord's work. Do you ever look at that in God's Word about the slothful? And how it applies to God's children? How it applies to us even in our daily lives, it tells us we're not to be slothful in business. You say, well, you know, I'd agree with that because I really do think I really need to work for my business. Let me tell you, friend, your business is more than just work. Your business, as God's child, is service of the King. And there are people sitting in God's house this morning, and you're not slothful in your own business. But listen, as far as God's work is concerned, you are. As far as God's business, you're as lazy as they come. Don't ask you to do anything for God's work. But you'll be the first one to expect that somebody else does it. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs just to see about that kind of a person. You know, the Bible has got a lot to say. We're only going to just mention some. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Remember Ethel Henderson, she clicked her teeth, used to say to me, young fella, don't forget the Proverbs. Don't forget the Proverbs. Well, here it is, Proverbs 19. Look at verse number 15. It says, slothfulness, laziness, casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Go to verse 24. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Boys, he's lazy, isn't he? He just hides. He can hardly get it to his mouth. He just can hardly lift it. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Then turn back to chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 9. Get a good concordance, friend. Listen. And just go down the Word of God. Take a word and go down. It says verse number 9 of Proverbs 18. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. You know, the Holy Ghost is, there's nothing behind the door whenever the Holy Ghost is speaking, friend. He says it as it really is, isn't it? He says, a slothful man, a person who is a slothful man in his work, is brother to him that is a great waster. Friend, be honest before God, there are people who are wasters in God's work. Say, what do you mean, preacher? I'll tell you, you're wasting your opportunity, you're wasting your time. God gives to every man and every woman, every person in this house of God who professes the name of Jesus Christ, God gives you opportunities this week to serve the Lord. And I ask you straight before God, friend,
Did you take them or did you waste them? Did you waste the opportunities? Are you a brother to a great waster? Because you wasted the opportunities. Why? Because you were just slothful. Slothful in business. Slothful in business. In the Lord's business. The Word of God says, listen, the king's business, what did it say? Requires haste. The king's business requires haste. Proverbs chapter, go to chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. And in verse number 4, it says here, the sluggard, lazy, slothful, will not plow by reason of the cold. I might get a chill here. Therefore, shall he beg in harvest and of nothing. I always remember when I was a child, there's a person lived quite close to us, and I've got to be careful because people then could identify them. But I remember a person, and you see the summertime, this farmer, he had only a small acreage of hay to make. Most of the farmers made hay at that time. And he had only a small acreage of hay to make. But you see, whenever it came to the summertime, he went on his holidays and came home. And when he came home, it was always raining. And then he complained that God didn't give him the weather for to make the hay. I was told when I was a child, you make hay while the sun shines. He thought it was better to lie on a beach and then try to make it whenever he came home. Friend, let me tell you, this is what the Word of God says. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. I thank God for those that stood with us in open air last night. And be honest, it was the 4th of June, but it was cold. But I thank God for those that stood on. They stood on. And God will reward them for standing on, even in the cold, friend. Because it says here, a sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, shall he beg and harvest, and of nothing. I asked also before God this morning, tell me, when you're called home to heaven, and when you're called to give an account of your stewardship, friend, what will you have to bring? What will you bring? What will you lay at Jesus' feet? Will it be empty hands? We sing the wee chorus, by and by, when I look in his face, I wish I had given him more. But now is the time to do it. Now is the time to serve him. Serve him while it's day, for the night cometh and no man can work. Proverbs chapter 12. In the 12th chapter of the book of Proverbs, verse number 27, it says, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. You see, he enjoyed the hunting, but he roasteth not what he took. In other words, he brings it home and expects, I suppose, the wife to do the cooking. And he roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man. In other words, he carries it on through. He takes it right to the end, to its conclusion. You just go halfway. You just do God's work just halfway, half measure. A friend, do you go into it with all your heart? Are you active in service? Are you really serving God? If you're saved this morning, every single child of God is saved to serve. Active in service. But the slothful man, he roasteth not which he took in hunting. The substance of the diligent man is precious. One more. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Go to verse number 30. I went by the field, verse 30, Proverbs 24. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw, and I considered it well. I looked upon it, and I received instruction. Friend, there are people, and they let all around them just go to waste. They just let everything around them go to waste. They let the garden grow like a field. But friend, let me tell you, here was the field of the slothful. Here was the vineyard of the man void of understanding. The vineyard, listen, in other words, it could have been producing that which was good, that which was precious. Yeah, what was it like? He said it was all grown over with thorns, and all grown over with nettles. It covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down. Do you know why? Because he was too lazy to do anything about it. It wasn't he having the health and strength. It wasn't that he having the opportunity. He was just too lazy. He was slothful. He really didn't care. Sad to say, there are many in God's work today. And friend, there is so much work that needs to be done. But if every child of God took it to heart to do the work of God, then God's work would be done. It would be so much easier for those that are bearing all the burden. Turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Let me just finish this thought this morning, and then we'll come back for their three other things about the example of the Lord, and we're going to have to come back to them. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, look at verse number 26. Or verse 25. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. It's the story of the talents, about the Lord giving the talents. And the man that received the one talent, he didn't use it. Look at verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. You see, he tried to blame the Lord. Notice what it says in verse number 24. Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. He had the audacity to blame the Lord, instead of looking into his own heart, instead of using that which the Lord had given him. Yes, he didn't get five talents, but he couldn't be trusted with one, never mind five. He couldn't receive two talents because he didn't even use one. But he had the cheek to blame the Lord that gave him the talent in the first place. And the Lord said, thou wicked and thou slothful servant, verse 26, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtst therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I would have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And maybe you haven't the 5 talents. And maybe God didn't give to you even 2 talents, but God gave you 1.
Do you know when you stand before God in the day when you give account of your stewardship to God, you'll not be asked about the 5 talents or somebody else. You're accountable to the one that God gave you. And how are you using? How are you using the life that God has given you? How are you using the talents which God has given you? To everyone He had given a talent. And He wants you to be active and serve. As Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish the work. And that's what God asked you to do, friend. And God's not asking you anymore. Just that which He has given to you. God says, finish it. Do it. Do the work that I've given to you. Be faithful in that. There's one final verse in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. It says this: not slothful in business. Romans 12:11. God's child is not slothful in business. He's fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Have you got a fervent spirit? Is there a lift to your step, friend, in doing the Lord's work? I joyed when to the house of God go up and said to me, do you joy? Do you really enjoy the Lord's work? Do you enjoy the Lord's presence? I joyed when to the house of God fervent in spirit. Not slothful in business. Serving the Lord. Serving Him. Be active in service. Because Christ said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish the work. May God help us to follow Him, follow His example. For Jesus' sake, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank Thee and praise Thee this morning for Thy precious word that speaks to my heart. Lord, I pray that You'll help me to be fervent in spirit serving the Lord. Help me to rejoice in serving Christ. Help me, our God, not to waste the time, but help me, Lord, to buy up the time, redeem the time. For the days are evil. We thank Thee for those that have served Thee faithfully down the years and are still serving Thee. Thank Thee for those that love the house of God and love the worship of the Lord. And yet we think of those today that are still unsaved, and You've been so good to them. You've given them breath in their body. You've given them life, light to their eyes and lilt to their feet. And yet they're not serving Thee, Lord, just wasting the days that You've given them. One day they stand before Thee, an account for a life of sin. O God, may this be a day of salvation. Bring the sinner to Christ. And help Thy child, our God, to serve Thee with all their heart. For Jesus' sake. Amen.